Welcome to the sermon series of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by Pastor Jeff Conley.
Introduction, confrontation, resolution. Introduction, confrontation, resolution. Many of us, as we journey, have run into these kind of situations. When you go up to the desk at a hotel, when you're trying to get your rental car, or maybe even in the airport, where you introduce yourself and then the confrontation happens. Oh, Mr. Krentel, we don't have your reservation. Oh, we don't have a car that's available for you at this time, but if you'd like to pay, no, you know, all kinds of confrontation that happens there. But then you move from introduction and confrontation into resolution. Either has a good ending or a bad ending. In these traveling situations, I tell you, a couple of drops of honey goes a long way. Be sweet, be sweet. Introduction, confrontation, resolution. It's what we're looking at today. It's what God is speaking to us this day. So I invite you to turn to Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, and hear God speaking to all of us here this morning. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the bush. Hear that again. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why this bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians, to them out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." And then later down to verse 13 we read, "But Moses said to God, 'If I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them?' And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' He said further, 'Thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you.' God said, also said to Moses, 'Thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you.'" And this is God's word to us this morning. The introduction, The introduction that happens here, that burning bush speaking out to Moses. Moses, who had been traveling, he went all the way through the desert into the wilderness on the other side. We don't know why a shepherd would have traveled this far. It doesn't exactly make sense. Was he looking for more water? Was he looking for more grass? But he went a great distance at this time. And as he traveled, God made that introduction to Moses. God speaks to Moses from the angel of the Lord in that burning bush. Now, who is the angel of the Lord in that burning bush? Theologians for centuries, for generations, have looked at this. And most of the consensus comes down to that was the Christ figure. That was the Christ figure speaking to Moses from that bush. Jesus, basically, was that angel of the Lord who was speaking at that point. So interesting here that we have an image of God, we have an image of Jesus, and then we have an image of the Spirit also that Moses wrote about early in the book of Genesis. Do you remember what was hovering over that which was formless and void? What was there? Spirit. Spirit. Very much Spirit was there. So even though the word Trinity is never used in Scripture, Old Testament or New Testament, already we're beginning to see an image of God, one God, in three persons. Beautifully here, he tells Moses, who is struggling. Moses asks that question, but who am I to go and tell these people about who you are? And then he challenges them again, and he says, but, you know, they know who I am, so none of the Israelites are even going to believe me anyway. What am I going to tell them? How do I introduce who you even are? And God speaks to him. Jesus speaks to him. God speaks through that burning bush and says, I am who I am. I am who I am. Coming from the Hebrew verb to be. I be who I be. I create who I create. I am who I am. Beautiful image there of the one that always was, is now, and always will be. God the Creator, God the Redeemer, and God the Sustainer. At that declaration to Moses, as he declares his presence to Moses and says, I am your God, and my name is I Am. To be, in every sense of that word, everything that exists, exists because of my being. That is my name. Know my name. A number of years ago, I had the opportunity to have a four-hour lunch with Paul Young. Paul Young is the author of the book, The Shack. It's a movie right now. We brought Paul to the church to speak at our church, and I invited him to come and have lunch with me, and I thought, you know, maybe I'll get an hour out of this guy, but he's an Oregon boy, so the first 2 hours of our conversation was all about the Oregon mountains and the Oregon hills. He comes from Boring, Oregon. That is not a commentary. That's the name of the town. Boring, Oregon is right outside Mount Hood. Every time when I was in high school, we would be driving on the way to Mount Hood to ski. When we hit that one stop sign in Boring, we'd honk our car at 6:30 in the morning. It was Boring. It needed to be livened up, right? He did not live there at that time, so he doesn't remember an early morning car horn honk. We also got to deeper places. I learned where this book came from. Paul Young is the child of missionaries. The family went to New Zealand. And when the family went to New Zealand, Paul was abused by the tribesmen. And in his great shame because of that, he never told his parents. He kept it quiet. It continued over a number of years. As the family came back to the States, you know, he just wanted to forget everything and be a good Christian boy and a good Christian man. And he just moved on and he tried to do as much as he could to honor God. But there was this brokenness and shame that was a part of his life. And he lived that out in a horrible way. He had an affair with his wife's best friend. Now, what do you think his wife did when she found out? A lot of us would say kick to the curb, right? You know what she did? She grabbed him by the collars, metaphorically, and said, "You've got a lot of garbage going on inside of you. Get it fixed." Unbelievable. "Get it fixed," she said to him. 3 years of work, 3 years of counseling, 3 years of marriage counseling, and he came to the place to recognize he was living out his damaged life his whole life. He was living out that damage in his marriage, and he needed to confront what had happened to him, that shame and that brokenness that was there. And so this book that he wrote, The Shack, was just written for his family. It was a book directly written to the family as an apology and an understanding of God had healed him. This book is a beautiful depiction. It's an allegory, folks. Don't try to go to it. If you've read it, go to the movie. It's phenomenal. If you haven't read it, read it sometime, but go to the movie. It's phenomenal. It's an allegory about the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in perfect communion with each other, as they introduce themselves to the main character, as they have a confrontation about his woundedness and his brokenness and the darkness in his life, and they bring the character to resolution. Introduction, confrontation, resolution. God declares God's self to Moses as he's declaring God's self to each one of us here this day. I am. I be. I will always be. So we move on from this introduction to the confrontation that we find in John chapter 8, beginning with verse 31. Hear the words of the confrontation. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" And Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, yet you look for opportunities to kill me because there is no place in you for my word. I declare what I have seen in the Father's presence. As for you, you should do what you have heard from the Father." They answered him, "Abraham. Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing what Abraham did. But now you are trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did." And we move down to verse 48. The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? And Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly, I tell you, whoever keeps my word will never see death. Then the Jews said to him, Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say, whoever keeps my word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? The prophets also died. Who do you claim to be? Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, he of whom you said, He is our God, though you do not know him, but I know him. If I would say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your ancestor Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. God's word to each of us. The confrontation. We understand the confrontation a little bit more now. The Pharisees are speaking and they're talking about the God that they worship and honor, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And they're confused at this Jesus as he is challenging them. But the confrontation specifically comes when he answers the question. What do you mean? You weren't even born when Abraham was around. You can't be alive. How have you seen Abraham? And Jesus says, Before Abraham was, I am. Do you get what he's saying to the Pharisees there? Do you understand that they know and understand Scripture well? They know the words of Moses. They know those words of Moses. The second he says, Before Abraham was, I am, that's blasphemy to them because he is saying, I am God. I am God. And that confrontation happens there at that moment. But we need to peek and look at a challenging verse first. One that I skipped over in John 8:44. It says, You are from the Father, the devil, and you choose to do your Father's desires, the devil's desires. Jesus confronting the Pharisees at this moment saying, You are from the devil. Now, we don't like that word, do we? And pray for me as I'm even preaching about this. We Presbyterians, we might feel more comfortable saying evil or darkness or brokenness. But Jesus very specifically personifies. And he says, when you are following the world, when you are of the world, when you are not seeking, when you are not following me, you are following the devil, Satan. It's uncomfortable, isn't it? You don't like to hear that. I don't like to hear that. It's challenging to preach because I know there's a battle going on as I even say these words. Jesus came to battle Satan. Jesus came to conquer Satan for each one of us. There's an invisible world out there with things going on. You know, in the 1800s, in the early 1800s, as Darwin began to write and begin to understand things in new ways, people actually believed that new organisms could pop out of nowhere. When villages were wiped out, when towns were wiped out, It was a new organism that popped out and took everybody out. That's what they believed what was happening. There was something new that came along that took all these people out. Then a man came along named Louis Pasteur. And what is it that he discovered? Bacteria, right? Germs. We all drink milk in a certain way now because of him that keeps the germs out. What they thought were new things popping up were all over the place, all the time. They're just invisible, right? Does anybody have a problem believing that? Do all of you during the big cold and flu season use way too much of that goopy stuff on your hands? Kill all the germs that you can possibly kill? Do you use that, right? And when you're using that, what do you say? I believe in this invisible thing that can harm me, right? When you're doing that? It's the same challenge that's before us when we think of the evil one personified as Jesus says here. We can't see, but we know that harm can come from the evil one. The challenge before each one of us is that we need to be training ourselves to walk with an invisible God who is visible. Did you hear what I said? We need to train ourselves to walk with an invisible God who is visible, so that we don't wander with an invisible Satan who is present. Training, the challenge before each one of us is that we train ourselves to walk with an invisible God who is visible. So that we don't wander with an invisible Satan who is present. That leads us to resolution. We have an introduction with God. We have the confrontation that's there. That resolution is there before us also. What is it that a teacher needs to do, Rick Hawkins, to become a teacher? You need to go off to college, don't you? You go off to college and you get a general education, but then you start taking some education classes. And you learn what it means in your topic of choice of how to express that to others, correct? Many educators in the room. So then you take specific kind of classes that tell you how to speak in front of a congregation or a classroom, right? Gives you some skills how to do those kind of things. And then what's the next thing you do as that teacher in training, purposefully in training? You student teach. You go into that classroom and you try it out. And you learn what works and you learn what doesn't work. And then what happens? You become a teacher and everything's perfect. You know it all. Right, teachers? Oh, no. You keep training, don't you? You keep trying. You keep learning. You keep developing. In that journey of training and resolution for us, Jesus has introduced himself to us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. He confronts us with the power of his truth. And he's there in every confrontation that we have. And he's inviting us in that resolution to be walking with him. Walking with the invisible God who is visible. Not wandering with the invisible Satan who is present. And so confession is a part of that, being honest with God. We have this cross here that has all kinds of confessions from our Ash Wednesday service put on there. We come to God honestly. We come to God openly. I'm going to leave you with one more part of the journey of resolution for each person each day. Most of us here in this room know this prayer well. Our Father, who, how? Every night when you're getting ready to go to bed, I tell you, there's nothing like it. when you lay down and you put your head on your pillow, and instead of thinking, I need to do this tomorrow, or this happened today, or blah, blah, all the things that can be in our heads. Our Father, who art in heaven, tell you, the kind of dreams and the kind of sleep that you get when you fill your heart with that protection as you go to sleep, it's beautiful. And then you wake up in the morning. Some of us are foggier than others in the morning, right? Who's that happy nut in the morning that's... I know that some of you are out there. Okay, there's one. But for a lot of us, it's foggy in the morning. But first thing as you get out of that fog that you say in the morning is what? Our Father, who hallowed be thy name, right? The introduction, the confrontation, and the resolution. The resolution found in the Christ who invites us to come to this table and celebrate in this feast.